Made arrangements with our upstairs neighbors in case the water starts coming up into our house to go ahead and go upstairs. And we've got our kids. We're just going to snuggle in a ball and hope for the best.
Stories abound of the nightmare named Sandy slamming into the East Coast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to this version of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, from coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. How you doing? Whoo, it's tough watching what's happening with the storm. And I have got to say on a personal note, watching these reporters who are out there, it is the typical scenario where they're in Gordon Fisherman-like clothing and they're standing in the middle of, like, Ali Vesey from CNN, standing in the middle of Atlantic City. I'm thinking, are they going to have to rescue him? Or is the cameraman have a rope around him or what? But he did illustrate just how deep the water got. Atlantic City, one of the hardest places hit. You think of the boardwalk, completely now, from what I understand, underwater. Up and down the East Coast, the big thing is the power outages and the high winds, because you think of trees and tree limbs, and that's pulling down some of the power lines, and some of them are transformers are just being blown up because of the weather conditions. So 5.3 million at least without power, 5.3 million. And think of some of these urban areas that we're talking about. Philly, New York City is just like a dark cloud. Boom, dark. Where are you going in New York City? You can't get over the bridges, can't use the subways. There is no public transportation right now. Kids are out of school for 2 days. Lots of businesses are closed down, and water was lapping over Battery Park and speeding into the streets. A lot of restaurants reporting that water was starting to come into their front doors. So in those places, in those big areas that I'm talking about, and my best examples are Philly, because that's very close to the Jersey Shore, and New York, with a power outage, it's a whole lot different than when you're in a smaller area or a suburban area versus the high rises. Because in high rises, you don't get, you know, think of the floors. You don't get water above maybe the sixth, seventh floor when you don't have power and you can't use something else as a power source. When you live somewhere in the suburbs, in the country somewhere, you know what I'm talking about with these power sources. So it's a lot more difficult. Imagine what that's like. And I think that number's higher. I think it's going to be over 6 million, maybe 7 million people without power when it's all said and done. The official number of deaths at this point is 12. But that number may be higher. I certainly hope it isn't. But it's just that bad. The storm, as predicted, Governor Christie in New Jersey told people, as they saw what happened with Irene, do not stay in these areas. Do not stay in these low-lying areas. Evacuate, because we're not going to come and rescue you. So I wonder how many people decided not to evacuate. There certainly were some. I hope that not that many people were foolhardy enough to do it, because he wasn't sending people in, the National Guard, because he was risking their lives. On top of this, you had hospital patients that were evacuated in the middle of this. You had heavy snow that's coming down, like in West Virginia. So you have blizzard conditions that have hit the Appalachians. The thing with New York, where so much power went out, for 700,000 people without power, a New York City transformer just exploded. And then that caught some buildings on fire. So there is havoc going on throughout the Northeast, and it is definitely not over yet. I mean, it has ravaged people's lives, but it's not done. The storm is not done, because it's still being felt by some people, and you're still going to see some of that water come back in. Now, while you have the states of emergency being declared, and, you know, $20 billion the estimate for this storm, which could be maybe too low, actually. It might be just a little bit more than that. There is the question that also hangs delicately in the balance, and what we've been talking about forever and a day, it seems, in America Tonight, right? Think back to New Hampshire in January, trips to Washington the last 2 years. The election, the election, the election. The election is on the 6th. So a week from now, just a little over a week from now, what's this going to, well, actually a week from now, what's this going to look like? The answer is, the question that's floating around is, why not postpone this? Why not postpone this election? Because our friends in the East are going to have troubles, and some of the polling places won't be polling places. They're going to have to come up with other polling places. And you know how that is. And I'll be honest, I'm one of those people. There's no way I would not vote. So if I had to drive around in circles with a Google crappy map, or I guess that's the Apple crappy map, I would somehow, some way, find the polling place if my normal polling place wasn't there. But I think it'll cause mass confusion because some of the places that normally people would go to aren't going to be there. So you got people in the dark. You have an unknown as to when they'll be able to restore the power. You have lots of problems happening back east. Should this election be postponed? And it is so delicate that Romney and Obama did make a few last-minute pitches in some of the swing states, but they canceled the Tuesday events because they knew Sandy was going to hit. And this is what people are going to be talking about, that the top concern is the lives of people that were in the middle of this. So you look at the polls, and in Ohio, a key swing state, right now Romney has a 2-point edge in a Rasmussen poll for what it's worth. But both Obama and Romney are going to be careful about positioning the election with people trying to pick up their lives, trying to put it together in the next couple of days. But the question becomes for the rest of us as we watch from outside. You know, they're in the fishbowl called disaster, which many of us have found ourselves in that situation, but we're looking into the fishbowl. And should they, meaning, I guess Obama would have an executive order and Congress would come up with a date. We don't even know that that's what would happen, but could happen that way. Why wouldn't we postpone it? Why not postpone it a week? Or is that foolhardy? If you postpone it a couple of weeks, then pretty soon you're butting it up against Thanksgiving, so I don't know about that. And if it is postponed, does it give anybody an extra advantage or no? Pardon the pun, but is it kind of a wash? Yeah, throw in your 2 cents. 855-266-KATE. 855-266-5283. All right, coming up this hour, it's not going to be completely only about Sandy, although I know our thoughts are definitely there with all the people who are figuring out what to do and when to go back to their houses if they did evacuate. And who doesn't evacuate in those situations? I don't get it. But coming up in a couple of segments, we're going to talk about Hating Breitbart, the documentary. We're going to talk to its director. Great interview. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw of free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
About Sandy, find it hard to believe, but I will. I want to throw out the numbers too. Election, yay or nay? Should it just stand as scheduled? November 6th, you voted early, you didn't vote early, you're going to vote on the day, but sorry to our friends in the East. Hope you can get to the polls. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, or you can flip me an email. AmericaTonight.net. All right, let's give you some details on the storm. Power lines. I already said that's the name of the game. It's over 6 million now, by the way, that have lost power. Tree limbs down. That was the thing that, sadly, nailed too many families. Their homes hit windows, cars, all that kind of stuff. Cars underwater. What, you know, the worst possible things you can think of. All the airports closed. We knew that. LaGuardia, JFK, Newark was closed, Philly's closed, any of those places near the walls of water and the problems and the wind, because you're not taking a plane up with those kind of winds. In New York, Lower Manhattan's Battery Park recorded a 14-foot tide, so that slams a record that was set back in the 60s by Hurricane Donna. The city stopped the buses and the train lines, they closed schools, they got over 400,000 people out of their homes in the low-lying parts of Manhattan. New York Mayor Bloomberg told reporters there was an extraordinary, as he called it, amount of water in Lower Manhattan, down trees throughout the city, all the power outages, you know, that we know now at this point. So they're scrambling to do something to get the power up. It's going to take a long time for that. Falling trees were blamed for 3 deaths in New Jersey, 1 in Connecticut, 2 as well, falling on homes in Queens and another town of New Salem near Albany. In West Virginia, a woman was killed in a car accident after the storm. It has just been pelting that area with snow, 5 inches of snow. It just keeps on coming. Overwhelmingly, this was the most bizarre story, I think, the sailing ship, the HMS Bounty, which is a replica of, you know, Mutiny on the Bounty, of the historic British vessel off of North Carolina, sunk. 14 of the ship's crew members were rescued. 2 were missing, but the body of one deckhand was found late, just a while ago, and the ship's captain is still missing now. Sandy has wreaked havoc with now how many people? 67 in the Caribbean, 51 were in Haiti, and now we've got 13 in the United States. So this is 7 days before the presidential election, forcing both Obama and Romney to cancel, alter, change campaign stops, and then decide what happens, I think, with the election. The wind damage could be over $7 billion. Over $7 billion. I mean, we don't even know at this point. It's all just guesstimate nonsense, because I think any guesstimate you have, it's going to be more than that guesstimate. The damage to cars, homes, streets, all that kind of stuff. You know, you think of Fire Island off Long Island, the waters above the promenades and docks and all of that. Why people, and there were some people that didn't do it, why people who own businesses or homes, why they weathered storms in the past, have they not learned anything from storms that we've had in this country, and they decide to stay? I mean, you have to be kidding me. I said this on our last show, looking from the NASA photos, showing it from the International Space Station. Boy, all I had to do was see that over New Jersey, and I would have been out of there lickety-split. So homes are shaking, limbs are falling all over the place, problems with the power, power outages, very, very shaky, rattled, and rolled nerves in the East Coast. So ahead of the storm, it was smart, because it played out to be just that kind of dangerous. 3 months ago, on this show, I broadcast from Ocean City, New Jersey. The place that I broadcast from, I'm not so sure it's standing, is what I've been told. The boardwalk in Atlantic City is pretty much underwater. And any damage to casinos, we don't know at this point, but I would assume there would be some, at least some water damage to the casinos that are really close to the boardwalk and connected to the boardwalk. There would have to be some kind of water damage to them, even if they're just sealed up tight. I would think some of it would still be able to get in based on the location of the casinos. So that many people. The District of Columbia affected more by winds. New York was hard. West Virginia was hard. New Jersey, Maryland was hard. Maryland got hit very hard. Delaware, same thing. The governor of Connecticut, Dan Malloy, is worried about high tides. You know, one of the high tides hitting at midnight on Monday. So then that's 11 feet above a normal high tide. Imagine the damage. Connecticut is getting crucified, too. People aren't talking as much about Connecticut, but they are. Highways were closed all over the state. I mean, you know, all over the place, rather. 95, which cuts across, it's a main artery across a lot of those states, that was down. Pretty much people had to stay inside, whether they wanted to or not, because they couldn't use the highways. And frankly, they couldn't maneuver around them probably anyway, at least with some of the flooded areas. The National Guard is all over the place. Delaware, like I said, was a mess. The governor, Jack Markell, talked about the, you know, people who didn't evacuate and need to be rescued. We'll see with the National Guard having to try to find them. 500 people in Delaware spent the night in 5 shelters, because we haven't talked so much about that. But you have people in shelters, and you know, pick a state. Maine had problems. I think they could have high surf, fierce winds, flooding. They're worried about flooding, power outages. They've got a limited emergency declaration, so power crews from other states and Canada can help them get prepared. I mean, this is a long night. There's going to be some bleary-eyed people staying awake. In Massachusetts, Governor Patrick declared a state of emergency for the Bay State, because he didn't want to get slammed for what happened to him before with Hurricane Irene. And this is what some of the politicians have learned, because they didn't take their cues, and they weren't concerned about Irene. And then Irene was unbelievable, the flooding from Irene, especially in northern New Jersey. I mean, this is a dangerous situation, a dangerous storm for so many people in the states that I mentioned that just got slammed, you know, from end to end. From the time they woke up, they were bombarded by what was going to happen. And then once it hit as predicted. Now, this is the difference between this storm, looking at it, versus a tornado. In Pennsylvania, I mentioned Pennsylvania, the governor, Tom Corbett, declared a statewide disaster emergency ahead of the storm, realizing that there would be power outages and flooding, and there were high winds and even snow to parts of southwestern Pennsylvania and some of the higher areas. They've already seen that. So this hurricane is kind of like a hurricane wrapped in a nor'easter. The cold. You know, nobody talks about the cold. In Rhode Island, they have had the same problem with power outages, flood-prone areas getting hit very, very hard. So whether it's rain or whether it's heavy winds or a plethora of other things, there's no doubt that a lot of people have been affected by Hurricane Sandy. And Halloween, for the most part, in the areas that I talked about, it's on ice. Because I don't think people are going to be doing that trick-or-treat thing when they're still picking up the pieces and receding lines and no power. It's going to be punched into the end of the week for probably a lot of school kids who are going to run out and, you know, didn't you do that when you were a kid, grab the pillow sack and run around the neighborhood and then the next neighborhood? There's not going to be a lot of that happening in some of the areas that I just mentioned. All right, we're talking about Andrew Breitbart, the documentary about Breitbart. Hating Him, it's called Hating Breitbart. Talking to the director next here on America Tonight.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. Now, when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, floods, all sorts of natural disasters happen. Some of you are ready, some are not. MySurvivalGoods.com gets you ready. Think basics. Do you have a home first aid kit, a car emergency kit, a basic urban survival kit? MySurvivalGoods.com has kits. Then the big stuff. Ready for system interruptions caused by natural or man-made disasters, terrorism, government collapse, social chaos?
Are you ready to bug out?
Could you survive off the grid for a minimum of 3 days like FEMA says?
Don't count on FEMA.
Count on high-quality kits from MySurvivalGoods.com. Check out out our large selection of emergency kits for cars, homes, schools, and office, and bug-out bags, first aid and flu kits, emergency water and food. Even build your very own custom emergency kit. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Go to MySurvivalGoods.com now. That's MySurvivalGoods.com. Don't delay. Prepare today.
Are you storing food? Prepared families are storing food for months and years, but only have enough fuel stored for days or weeks. Stretch your fuel storage by harnessing the power of the sun with a sun oven. Food can be baked, boiled, or steamed at temperatures of 360 to 400 degrees with the power of the sun. You can use the sun for 50 to 80% of your cooking, allowing you to preserve your fuel storage for rainy days. Sun-baked foods stay moister and have less shrinkage and do not burn. Sun-baked roasts are tastier and more succulent, and sun-baked bread has unparalleled taste and texture. Water can be heated in a sun oven for purification or personal hygiene. For the past 26 years, sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S. They're durable, have a long life, and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. For a discount coupon, visit sunoven.com/radio. That's sunoven.com/radio.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you, over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free, 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Welcome back to America Tonight. I talked about meeting Andrew Breitbart in New Hampshire and had a great conversation with Andrew. Somebody I knew introduced me to him. I was up there broadcasting, and actually we took a couple of photographs, and sadly, who knew that Andrew didn't have a lot of time left after that. I was glad that I actually had a chance to talk to him about some of the things that he was doing. Well, there's a new film out called Hating Breitbart, and the movie, pretty much to sum it up, and I've got the movie's director in our virtual green room right now. We spared no expense. I think he's got an expensive latte in his hand, or a cheap cup of coffee anyway. But the movie Hating Breitbart is mostly about the battles that he waged against me, or that were actually flung back at him, mainstream media over the Tea Party movement and that kind of stuff. You know, the conservative movement and some of the words that were used. And consistently what happened with Andrew when he would be at, let's say, more liberal gatherings. But to flush it out much better than I could ever hope to do, the director, as I said, Andrew Marcus, is with us. Andrew, thanks for popping by America Tonight.
Thanks for having me. I love the virtual Danish in the virtual green room. Very nice.
Oh, you're so welcome. So true story, I did meet Andrew. I knew someone that knew him, and somehow, you know, I had just finished broadcasting, and it was a crazy room that we were all in, and had a great conversation with him. He's telling me some of the things that were happening in his world. And he did have a crazy world, didn't he?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, and it was really, you know, we followed him around for 2.5 years. We started, the first time I ever videotaped him was September 12, 2009, which was 2 days after the launch of the Acorn tapes and his website, Big Government. Of course, at the time, I didn't realize I was going to be filming a documentary about him. That came about 5 months later when he spoke in front of the Nashville Tea Party, the National Tea Party Convention in Nashville. And it was just an amazing event. I had never seen anything like it. I've seen plenty of political things, plenty of political events, plenty of speakers, and I've never seen a single individual connect with a room the way that Andrew Breitbart did. And we decided to follow him around pretty much starting then. And we followed him all the way through, you know, the most dramatic stories that he was involved with. The $100,000 reward that he offered for any evidence that, John Lewis and Andre Carson claimed in their race libel that the Tea Party shouted the N-word at them 15 times during the passing of Obamacare. Mm-hmm. That was a very dramatic period, all the way up through the Sherrod case and what I call the story that the world's most perfect story, Wienergate.
I knew you were going to say that.
What a ride. I mean, it really was a tremendous ride. He really, his was a larger than life existence, and to be able to bear witness to it and document it and now bring it to people who couldn't have viewed it that way, only being able to view it through the prism of mainstream media, it's really it's an honor and a privilege to be able to do so.
And when you first put all this together, and then you, I know when you first submitted it, you had some problems with the MPAA, and they were going back and forth with you about the R and the PG-13. What was all that about, because of some of the language?
Right, yeah, well, you know, it turns out, you know, Andrew Breitbart wasn't, you know, very, he didn't pay a lot of attention to censoring himself, you know. He was an open book, you know, the guy,
yeah.
You know, he had nothing to hide and never, you know, never changed himself to suit the moment. He was always himself, and you know, it's a rough and tumble lifestyle, and you know, there were occasions where he would use the F word, you know, if he was angry and that was the language he wanted to use, he did it, and we were, you know, we documented it faithfully, and
yeah.
Apparently it was a little bit too much to bear for the audience at the MPAA. You know, we submitted it, the first time we submitted the film, it was completely, you know, as it was, you know, which was approximately 9 uses of the F word. I actually hadn't counted them. The MPAA let me know. 9 uses, which was apparently way over the limit. So we resubmitted, and, you know, we were given, you know, guidance from, you know, people in the industry, people who, you know these things. Basically, they said, you know, if you get it down to 4 uses, you should be okay. And so that's what we did. We took it down to 4 uses. I scrubbed out everybody but Andrew's use. And we still got an R rating. And so that's what we are. We're at an R rating. You know, when we put out the DVD, we'll do a version that's clean so that, you know, for family viewing. And I understand that. But while I don't, if I can't give the viewer a choice,
right,
my best case scenario would be to have 2 versions in the theaters, a matinee version and a primetime version. And then the viewer can choose which one they want to go to.
Yeah,
but if I don't have a choice, if I can't give the viewer a choice, then they're going to see Andrew as he was.
Yeah.
You know, uncut. And you know, for the DVD, there you can have a choice as a viewer. You can choose which one you want to see, and we'll bleep it out for that. But yeah, that was what they did, and we found it. I don't think that it was a political decision. I don't think it was a bias. I just think that, you know, rating these things is an art and not a science. And so you're at the mercy of the group of people who happened to see it that day. And for all we know, they could have seen Bambi before they saw our film. Mm. And so by contrast, it was, you know, looked pretty rough. But
yeah,
when you look at films like The Social Network, okay, Social Network carries a PG-13 rating, despite the fact that they have multiple uses of the F word and people smoking, you know, pot through a 3-foot-tall bong, and
yeah,
someone was doing cocaine, and there was, you know, suggestive nudity, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the process renders an inconsistent result. You know, look at Iron Man 2. Iron Man 2, the whole premise, it's a totally violent film, PG-13. You know, there's,
yeah, I
so
know.
It's no rhyme or reason. You know, it's sort of hard to determine.
Yeah. There's a great documentary about the MPAA, by the way, and that kind of explains it all. I would say that to the listeners, since they know I do cheap movie reviews and often recommend documentaries. There's a good one to see, and then you'll understand exactly what we're talking about here. What was the most surprising thing that you found out about Andrew and all the time that you followed him around?
You know, well, look, I think the thing that was, I don't know if it was most surprising, but certainly I think the most admirable thing was what a good friend this guy was. He had people's back, and I find this quality to be all too rare today. You know, if you were somebody who wrote for him, and you took a risk with what you wrote, he had your back. And, you know, nowadays that's a pretty rare commodity, you know. He just was, this was a guy who was fearless. I think that's probably the other thing I really discovered about him. You know, he would go right into the heart of the den of people who hated his guts. Most people would avoid that like the plague. Andrew Breitbart knew that was, he wanted to be right in the center of it, you know, and that was something that was always very exciting. Wherever we went, amazing stuff would happen because he brought out the best and the worst in people, and he knew that. And by, you know, at the height of his career, he was using that everywhere he went. So, you know, it was just an amazing experience to be around him as he would go into these different settings. It was the ride of my life.
And you saw the different, as you say, the different settings. So you saw, as you said, you watching him speak, you couldn't believe, or you had never seen anyone really capture the room the way he had. But then you also saw him where he was, I'll call it enemy territory, when he was in enemy territory, and he had to weather that. How did he handle it when he was, you know, crucified, let's say, by mainstreamers?
Right. Well, look, you know, nobody likes to be hated. Andrew didn't like to be hated, but he knew that he took his example from Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann. You know, these were people who were subjected to the machine of hate as well. And they fought back. And by fighting back, they became stronger. Now, you know, Andrew took his cue from that. And I think that he began to relish in it, how much, you know, he was able to take their tactic of vilification and turn it on its head and make himself stronger in the process. So it was really fascinating to watch. And look, the tactic of hatred, it's exactly that. It's a tactic. You know, you have these progressive institutions that have weaponized their newsrooms, and they use them to assassinate the character of any individual or groups that dare have a thought or a perspective that deviates from the progressive line of thought. And, you know, Andrew Breitbart basically declared war on it. You know, the speech in Nashville that really attracted us to doing the documentary. It was about 5 months after they had released the Acorn tapes, and Andrew Breitbart was being vilified, and so was James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles, the two other people who produced the Acorn tapes. And they were being vilified as racist. And the way you get from A to B on that one is that Acorn helps black people. If you're attacking Acorn, you're attacking black people. And why would you do that if not for being a racist? And the Tea Party was facing a very similar charge by the exact same machine of hatred. The Tea Party was against the policies of this president. This president is a black man, i.e., you're against a black man, and why would you be that if not because you're racist? And so they were facing the same charge by the same people. And Andrew Breitbart stood up at this convention, and he said, you know what, this is not just media bias. This is contempt for the American people. And you want a war? I'm going to give you a war. It's on. And that crowd, the movement was so hungry for that message, no longer just the civil, you know, the civil answer to the uncivil charge of racism used to be, well, no, I'm not. And Andrew Breitbart realized you can't answer it that way. You're playing on their terms once you've answered it that way. The answer is war. And, you know, in that moment, the way I say it is the movement found their general in Andrew Breitbart, and Andrew Breitbart found his army in the movement in that moment. We were there documenting the Tea Party, and I was surrounded by producers, and I could see in their eyes, they had the same thought I did. This guy is our story. He's the personification of the fight. And that's what we documented. We documented the man, and we documented the fight.
Well said. Hating Breitbart, director Andrew Marcus, good luck with the film, and go see it, folks. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135. And get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood-use cooking stoves. Available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
The disaster, the loss on the East Coast could be $20 billion, could be higher. I know that the insurance adjusters will be scrambling, that's for sure. Two people died in the New York borough of Queens. A man in a house was hit by a falling tree and a woman who stepped into an electrified puddle of water. That's how scary it is out there. Flying debris is always dangerous. And to me, the biggest concern is the loss of life, that to be killed in the storm would just be the worst thing that you can imagine. 13 people dead in the United States as a result. There's widespread flooding through New York City, well inland in many, many, many cases. High winds and the floods are really what racked the Atlantic coastline. And that's the story. Kate Delaney, hanging out with you on this last couple of turns around the bend here in this hour of America tonight. So we had a storm that certainly cut a wide swath, if you will, and had many zigs and zags throughout the day, late into the day and the nighttime, probably the worst when it looked so menacing from the satellite photos, and it really turned out to be just that. You know, these cruise ships, for example, like the Hurricane, kept the Norwegian Cruise Line's Gem at sea, which was a smart thing, I think, because of the waters. We saw that the replica boat of the Mutiny on the Bounty sank, and the captain's missing, and one other person was killed, and they found him, and they were able to rescue 14 people that were on that boat. There are other people who refused to evacuate. Now, how many of them were hurt, where they were, you know, pick a place. Let's hope more people left. You know, I mean, here's the thing. To me, when they suggest you leave and you see those horrific pictures, I say you leave. I don't understand what's with the not evacuating thing. When I went, here's the most powerful story I could possibly relate to you. When I went to Mississippi a couple of years ago, and we were in Biloxi, there was a cab driver I had, and we started to talk, because you could see one bridge was completely ripped out of its moorings, and I saw all the damage was still there, and this is only a couple of years ago. Things had been fixed, but there were still visible signs of Hurricane Katrina. And the cab driver told me, oh, I love Biloxi, and I've lived here for 15 years, and I've always wanted to live here, and you should have seen the city before, and all that stuff. She said how she had this great apartment, nice apartment, great place to live, not too far from the ocean, and it was a small place with a limited amount of units in it. That's why I think she liked it. She said the police knocked at her door, and this was before Katrina, and said, We need your identification. And she said, why do you need my identification? And they said, well, if you're refusing to evacuate and if you're not packing up your stuff and leaving, we need your identification so we can put your name with your body when we come back to find you. And turns out that apartment didn't even exist. If she had stayed in the apartment, poof, it was gone. Blew completely down, gone. Everything was gone except for a few blocks of what would be the original building. So that's the danger of not taking the evacuation seriously. And I think people get hurricane weary in some cases, although in the East that shouldn't have been the case. There have been hurricanes, there have been threats of high winds and storms and all that, but they just saw what happened with Irene. There may end up being more people who were stubborn and dug in. And it's just hard to imagine what this has turned out to be, but it's massive. I mean, massive. So why would you dig in like that? Makes no sense. It makes no sense. It's like the subway tunnels. The mayor did the smart thing by shutting them down. The tunnels are flooded. It could take 4 days to pump out the tunnels. And then what happens with the switches and the tracks and, you know, all of that? And this is just one little piece of the puzzle. Somebody sent me a tweet about going through Brooklyn and saying it looks like a war zone. It was that awful. The winds were incredible. Debris was everywhere. Fallen trees everywhere. So when FEMA gets to this, when the National Guard gets to all of this in the end, who knows what they're going to confront? Who knows what they're going to be looking at and trying to put the pieces back together? And the stories are the thing. Oh, the stories are so the thing in tracking this hurricane and the dramatic impact it has had on so many people's lives. So many people just completely slammed by this hurricane. And some people, as I said in my little lecture here, not getting the meaning of evacuate. You wouldn't have to tell me twice that they, especially someone comes to my door and says, I need your ID. And the reason I need your ID is because you're going to be dead. So I'm going to come back to make sure we're going to come back and be able to identify you at least. Because then that's the other thing that happens should it become that much more extreme, let's say. So in the case of, in the case of having a lot more lives lost, that's what would happen. I can't think of anything worse. Here's a job I would not want to attempt. I would not want to be working for a power company right now, even if I loved it, because they might get overtime, but they're going to be so weary. It's a hard job, I think, in these places like New York and Connecticut and New Jersey to try to get to all those power lines, which they will, but it's a very, very arduous task, to say the least. And you know, people are waiting on you. People want their electricity. We want our electricity. If the electric went totally out for you for 10 days, do you have backup plans? Do you have a way? I was thinking about this today. It's something I hadn't thought about, but I know there's a way I can get around this. Just the normal creature comforts, the electronic garage, my car in the electronic garage, well, boom, no electricity. No electricity. And then think of the normal things, heating food up, for example, microwaving food. It would be, you'd be doing something else. Unless you had gas, and then everybody would come over to your house. I suppose that's what would happen. Couple of quick emails I got. This one from Adam, who says, God bless the people slammed by this hurricane. I hope that body count, Kate, does not go up. Another one from Oliver. Hey, Delaney, I listened to you out here in California for once. I hate to say it, but I'm glad to be on this coastline. Seems like we are always getting hit, but I know what it's like, and it's got to be terrible for the people who feel like they're trapped at this point. And I know that feeling, and it is awful, trust me. So Godspeed to all those who have felt the rippling tides of Sandy. Yeah, rippling tides. Well, the rippling tide and the gentle hum of the election has kind of gone to a crawl in some areas because of the fact that 60 million people have been affected. In the latest Gallup poll, Romney was up 52% to 45% among early voters. So will this hurt him in any way, or does it hurt Obama? Maybe the election should be postponed. All questions people are asking themselves now.
Is this a business decision, or is it personal? Because if it's business, I'll go away happily. But if it's personal, I'll go away. But I won't be happy. It's personal.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.